Our scripture reading comes again from the Psalms, as this is our last day celebrating the Psalms. So I will read the first part, and then we will respond together, and then you'll know the response song when it comes up. But I won't hit you with that from the beginning. Here we go. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Those are some of our kids from down at the Foundry. Martha and Ellen worked with them this summer and did such a fantastic job. I think they deserve a round of applause for us. Well, good morning again. I am Pastor Laura, and today is your lucky day because there is no sermon, per se. Hooray! Instead, you're going to get to hear some amazing testimonies from some of the amazing people who are a part of our congregation. But before you hear from them, I guess I have a testimony to share as well. If I'm going to be really honest with you guys this morning, I didn't want to be here with you today. I know that sounds kind of harsh, but it was the plan for me to be here. Adam is away cheering on his son Luke, and his heart is very much with us today. But I was going to do this. I was going to be with you all. But after losing Megan last week, I thought that there was absolutely no way I could get up here and have anything to say. You see, I knew the psalm that we had picked out for today, like way, way in advance, many weeks ago. That was supposed to set the tone for the service. And I knew in particular how it began. It begins, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. And as I realized that's what we would be talking about today, I thought to myself, really? Joy and gladness? Those two words are the furthest from how I feel right now. There's no way, no way I can be here and be a part of that. And so when I arrived on Monday, it was one of the first things that Pastor Adam asked me. He asked me what I wanted to do, and I was very quick to tell him, no. You know, there's no way that I can get up here and fake that I'm okay. But something very significant happened over the course of that day. People, they started showing up here, and they started filling this place with life. People like our staff. And I hope you know like how truly amazing your staff is here, our staff. I've thought about it, and I've tried to find the right words to try to explain it to you, but there aren't enough words. The only thing that I could come up with was this. You know, if someone walked through that back door right now, and they marched up to me, and they said, Laura, you now have all of the resources in the universe, and you can handpick the most talented and gifted, the best and the brightest to be on the staff. I would look right back at them, and I would choose every single one of our staff members again, name after name after name. They're special, you guys. And they began to show up here, and you, the people of Broadway, started to stream in. And you started to show up in these big and these bold and these beautiful ways. You began to show up to mourn, to pray, to serve, and to just be. And something began to shift in me. As I was here in this place, in the presence of community, I could sense, I could feel it, the often long and difficult and slow working of healing. It was beginning to commence. I'm a little ashamed to have to stand up here today and to admit to you guys, to confess that my first instinct was to lean back when things got hard, to retreat and withdraw because it hurts. And I didn't want to have to wrestle through this with all of you guys. But I think that that's always the temptation when things get difficult in a community. The temptation is always to pull away, to draw back, to try to avoid the wrestling and the pain. But now I realize that it is only as we lean in that true and rich and meaningful and deep transformation can begin to take place. As you all showed up here last week, and as I ever so slightly started to lean in, I couldn't help but to do what the next part of our psalm today says. I couldn't help but to know that the Lord is God, because it was so obvious. It was so overwhelming and undeniable that his presence was with us here because of your presence with us in the flesh. I could see so clearly what the psalmist goes on to say, that it is he who made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. I could perceive it more plainly than I ever have, and that perhaps I ever will again, that we belong to each other because each of us belongs to God. He has made us and he has claimed us. It is he who unites us and that guides us along. And so we are not meant to wander off when things get hard, but rather we are meant to stay connected to our shepherd and to his flock. The more I was with you last week, the more I leaned into this community, a miracle truly happened within me. Somehow, despite the immense sadness, despite the overwhelming grief that I still feel, despite the fact that I am very much still not okay, I knew that I needed to be with you. I wanted to be here. And I felt like I could come into this place and actually and authentically enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. I thought that I could come here and I could give thanks to him and praise his name. And I just wanted you all to know why today. It's because of you. It is because I could see so beautifully in you and through you that the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. And so thank you. Thank you for being you, for being the people of Broadway, and for ministering to me in such a powerful, powerful way. We are a family here. We are a family that shows up. And you know what? Other people need that in their lives as well. Other people need people like you who love them as deeply and fully as we loved Megan. And they need people that will have their back like you've had mine. And so this is not a time in which we need to lean back as a community, but rather this is a time where we need to lean into our mission full force, when we need to invite people to come alive, fully alive, through a relationship with Jesus Christ like we never have before, where we need to grow more deeply in our love for God and our love for others, you know, grow more deeply than we ever thought possible. And when we need to go out with such passion to serve Christ for the transformation of this city and far beyond. This morning, I'd like to hear you to hear from someone who's actually one of the newest members of Broadway, who has experienced the impact of our shared mission together in their lives as well. And so I'd like for you to hear how she has discovered hope and healing among us. This is Emily Neely's story. Let's watch together.
Hi, I'm Emily, and this is my story. I was thinking back to when I was a kid, a small kid, earlier this morning, and remembering my mom standing in front of the mirror when I was a young child, negatively commenting on her body shape and size and pointing out things that were wrong with her that were not wrong. They were just her. They were just mom, you know. And I think I was probably, you know, 7 or 8 at the time. And so I didn't really know, you know, that it was a bigger issue than what it was. But when I became a teenager, I started to also struggle with body image, which is something that we're thrown at in middle school and high school. And there's so much pressure, you know, from other kids and from people and from society and from social media to look a certain way. And it started with just skipping a meal or, you know, like making myself sick in the bathroom right after eating. I hid it really well because I just thought it was something that people do. That they fasted and that they starved themselves so that they could look a certain way. And when I met my goal weight and when I met that goal weight, I was happy, but I was not satisfied. There were also other factors that were taking place at the time that sort of drove into my eating disorder, but also drove me away from family and the church that I grew up in. I grew up in a religious group that sort of sees things differently than I do now. I experienced religious abuse as a kid and as a teenager. And so at 16, I, you know, was struggling with this eating stuff. And then I was also trying to figure out a way to get out. And I wanted to leave home. So on the night before my 18th birthday, I had all my plans and plans to leave home, plans to make a life for myself outside of home. And I knew what that meant essentially was that I was going to have to cut off all communication. And then I found Broadway through a Craigslist ad from Martha Christian. She was looking for a pianist for one of the services. So I contacted her, and that was my first introduction to Broadway. And I went to an 8:15 service, which was amazing. And I met so many people, and I knew that it was going to be home, but I didn't want to accept it because I had just sheltered myself and hidden myself for so long, and I didn't want people to really see me, even though I'm a good person, but I didn't want people to really, I didn't want them to see the messy parts. Because I think being vulnerable is the hardest thing. And being transparent is the hardest thing. And letting people see those messy parts of your life is the most absolute difficult thing that we can do, but it's also the most important and most vital part of true community, is being that and doing that and walking together. And that's what I found in leaving home and coming to this place where I am now. And I can zoom out and see the big picture of, you know, the past 4 years. It'll be 5 years in October. You know, a lot of things have happened, and I'm completely different than I was 5 years ago. But it's because I found true community. It's because there have been people who have walked with me through the mess and through the really dark parts. People who have only come in recently into my life, but they're still just as vital and just as important. And it just seems like I just keep getting more people into my life, and I get to walk with you all, with all of these amazing people through life. I get to be a part of that, and you all get to be a part of mine and my journey, and I get to share this, and I get to heal with people in true living, true community, and it's the most amazing thing that I've ever experienced. So it's incredible.
I told the last service, if God can work through Craigslist, I guess he can work through anything, right? Right. We are so blessed to have Emily as a part of our family. She's serving as an intern with us here, and anytime you encounter her in the hall, she has the most gentle and gracious smile on her face. It's so warm. But the next person that we're going to hear from is someone who is always sure to put a smile on your face. I think he's here today. We usually call him Trouble, but he has another name. Anytime I see John Coomer, I'll say, are you behaving? Or I'll say, you better behave. It's usually what I say, right? And he always says, why does everyone say that to me? It's like, take a hint. All right, take a hint. But John has been a part of our Broadway family for a long time. And he actually served as one of our pastors here years ago. And so we're going to hear from him today, a little bit of his story. Let's watch together.
So we are over here at 1219 Grider Pond Road, out on the front porch with John Coomer, the infamous John Coomer. And I thought we might just have a little conversation today about the church and our church and the hope that we have in Christ and how that is lived out in a community over time. And do you bring a perspective, John, on that that maybe none of us would have? Mm-hmm. And we thought we might just talk about that.
Okay. I could ask people in town, do you know where Broadway is? No one basically had an idea.
We left Broadway in 1959.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, still somebody will say, do you ever think about changing the name of the church? And it's like, well, 60 years ago, they decided to keep the name.
Exactly.
Even though we're not on Broadway. And so it's been the challenge ever since. What was Broadway like? What was Broadway like in those days? In the late 80s,
early 90s? There wasn't a whole lot going on. One of the greatest things was the youth group with Diane Kaiser, Diane Wilson at that time. And we had Gary Graves as choir director. And we would go to Lake Junaluska every time we could. We had a bunch of kids that would do that. That was the saving grace, I think, at that time.
So you were gone, and then you came back. So tell us how you ended up coming back.
Well, I'd been at a church in Taylor County for almost 5 years, and I was beginning to have physical troubles with my multiple sclerosis with my right leg in walking. So I talked to my bishop, and he said, it's awfully hard to get disability, but if you want to try that, we'll see what happens. I applied for it, and in less than 2 months, I had it. He couldn't believe it. Mm. And he said, okay, go ahead and take retirement. So we came and looked for houses, and Gwen Stewart, who went to Broadway some, showed us several houses, and we ended up right here. Our son lived in the house for quite a while until I finally took Bureau of Retirement. And in other words, my twin brother got old. And so I finally took retirement. And I, through the years, did real well till about 4 years ago. I began to have trouble walking. Rick Bird one time invited me to help him at the 8:15 service and serve communion, make the announcements, take up the offering. That way he could go on out and get ready for the next service, as you well know how hard that is. And so I did that for quite some time.
Several years,
yeah. And then I got to a place where it was hard to stand up. And even though I had assistants helping me, I just kind of felt like I needed to back out of that. Right. So I did. And occasionally I would help with that. And got involved with our Yes group, which really was a salvation for Janice and myself both. That really helped us. And then through the time, we both physically have had a great deal of problems. We don't get to church activities, anything like what we would love to. We just got to limit ourselves. But the Broadway Church is a church that loves you, hugs you, prays for you, supports you, calls you, sends you cards. You know, that's the reason we came back to Broadway. We couldn't ever leave Broadway because Broadway wouldn't leave us, you know. And of course, Jennifer's living here, working out of Nashville. And as you well know, a while back, I never dreamed I'd walk her down the aisle at Broadway to get
Broadway.
Married. Yeah. And now,
just a few months ago, actually.
In a few weeks, she's coming home with her husband, and we're going to celebrate Janice and my 50th anniversary there at Broadway. And I would have never dreamed it. Never dreamed it. Unbelievable.
That's a wonderful. That's just a, that's a story that we don't get to hear very often, of God's goodness
over
a long period of time, even just through one church like that.
That's right.
So one of my favorite things about the way you all participate in our life together is just how you worship. And that, I don't know of a lot of people, I guess at 9:30 people might know this, but our 9:30 service in the MAC, there'll be a moment where you might feel like the Spirit's moving and there's a question, and very often you're the very first one to stand, you know, that you just can't sit anymore.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And I think people look at you and see that as an important form of your leadership. It may seem like a small thing to you. I think it's a big thing to all of us.
And, of course, as people know, Stephen's 6'4", and he sat right by me.
Your son is real tall.
Yeah, and I started to go back down, and he'll pull me back up. Or Kathy Tucker, who I took into her and her husband to church when I was at Broadway, Kathy will say, "You need help, preacher," and they help me back up. So, And I've got to where I try to go up for communion every Sunday. I went up this past Sunday and had it, and the person doing communion came around, and I said, "I've already had it." So she got
you
tickled.
You almost got it twice.
And I almost did. But, anyway, but that's the way Broadway is. A very caring, loving church. Yeah, couldn't ask for any better.
Now, as we think about the future, the Broadway of the future, you know, already our church is different than it was when you were there.
Yeah.
You think about the things that have changed. This was before, the major growth that we saw. It was before we built the MAC and the children's area and all that part of our Melrose campus. It was before our Greenwood campus and before a lot of the ministries that we have in the community. A lot of that you helped lay the foundation for in our past.
Yeah.
So help us think toward the future. What would you want us to know as the Broadway of the future?
I think basically keep being Broadway, the loving, caring, hugging, welcoming people, not just in the church building, but outside of the walls of the church and the community. They are doing a beautiful job of doing that. They just need to keep on keeping on. And the foundation is there. All we have to do is build on it.
What would you say to our young people?
Have faith, be baptized, accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and apply that in your daily living. you're being fed by the ministry of Broadway and by the Holy Spirit, and let that take effect. I know when I was at Broadway, I preached several times, especially to the youth, how to be a Christian. And I won't go into all of that and re-preach all that. But
we don't have time for that.
One of the blessings I have every Sunday is to have people behind me who joined the church when I was there, who now have children and grandchildren, and then to see children that I used to give communion to serving me communion. That just, you know, really gets to you. And I think that's what we need, is to keep that spiritual connection and never let it be untied. Let the Lord tether us to His Holy Spirit and fly. Fly.
That'll preach.
That'll fly. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, listen, John, I appreciate the chance to sit with you and for your friendship and your encouragement
thank you.
Your witness to all of us of the love of Jesus. You may be called trouble, but we see Jesus in you for sure.
I appreciate that so much.
I couldn't agree more with my friend John. We need to keep that spiritual connection and never let it be untied. We need to let the Lord tether us to His Holy Spirit and fly. As we come to this table today, we come remembering and renewing our spiritual connection, knowing that it is nothing less than the love of Jesus Christ that unites us. And we come here vowing today together that nothing, not even death itself, will cause us to be undying.